Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Star Wars Minute. It's your daily podcast in which we analyze, scrutinize, and celebrate The Last Jedi one laser-tastic minute at a time. I'm Alex Robinson from alexrobinson.fun.
I'm Pete the Retailer from petetheretailer.com.
Do we say our names here? Insert names?
Wow, Dan.
Do we say your name?
Dan McCoy of the Flophouse Podcast.
Hey, I'm Stuart Wellington of the Flophouse Podcast.
And this is Elliot Kalin, also of the Flophouse Podcast, and also the Maniac of New York Comic Book on comic book store shelves now. Thank you.
I can't believe we got the whole Flophouse gang back together again. This is like a Beatles reunion with a Martin and Lewis reunion. It's, thanks for coming back, guys.
Wow. If the Beatles finally reunited with Martin and Lewis.
It would sound a little bit like this.
We had less trouble scheduling.
That's what it would sound like.
We had less trouble scheduling this than we do our normal episodes.
That's true. Yeah. That's very true. Yeah.
The beauty was you just caught us unawares. Yeah.
It was like 1, 2, 3 podcast. And you were like, oh okay. Yeah. Set up your mics.
We're doing this. Jokes.
Yeah, Dan didn't have time to schedule a like wine sip and draw schedule or something.
Color me mine appointment was.
I don't know what life you think I'm living, but it sounds good.
Well, we're here to talk about what else, Pete?
No, I was trying to think of what's the one. It's like Color Me Mine, but it's with wine and
Color Me Bad.
Color Me Bad. There you go. I do want to sex you up.
Mm-hmm. Oh boy. Let's talk about minute 131 of The Last Jedi instead. Minute 131 starts with Kylo Ren ordering every gun they have to fire on that man. And it ends a minute later.
A Jedi.
Ends a minute later with Hux asking Kylo Ren if he thinks they got him. Sort of almost like a little mini movie in 1 minute, like
right.
Guns fire, punchline, and out of there.
There you go.
It's great.
This would have been a little short, like a Pixar short or something attached to the movie.
Sure.
Yeah, this is a minute where I was like, you know, obviously love the first two Star Wars movies, but I was looking at the shot of all of these walkers lined up against the sunset on this planet, blasting red dust from the ground. And I'm like, is this the prettiest Star Wars movie? It may be the prettiest looking one, because it is gorgeous, I think, this minute.
It really is.
Yeah. And it's got those big gorilla boys blasting out of their faces. I love it.
Yeah, because they were like, we can't have AT-ATs that look like the old AT-ATs, which look like camels. We got to have ones that look like gorillas, because because I assume this is the problem with the Empire, because you don't actually see a lot in the movies of why the Empire is bad, or why the New Order is bad, New Order is amazing, but why the First Order is bad, and it seems to be just because they take all the resources of the galaxy and are constantly putting them into like new hardware, like every year they're like, the new AT-AT models are out, they look like tapirs this year.
Job creators, dude. They're just fueling the economy.
Exactly.
And someone else is like, we have hovering technology. Why do you keep doing these things with big long legs that walk around?
It's because they look awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think of other scary animal. Like you could do like a rhino, but then it seems like it would shoot like up in the air instead of straight ahead.
Tall smiley legs on a rhino is very. I mean, like Salvador Dali would paint it like that, but it would look a little silly, right? But yeah, the horn would shoot in the wrong direction, right? If you're shooting from the horn.
Yeah, I mean, they could make a walker that looks like a hippo, and people would be like, "That's not that impressive." And then they'd check Wikipedia and be like, "How many people were killed by hippos?"
Exactly,
the deadliest walker of all.
Yeah. That's Lieutenant actually would have to explain that. In the movie.
I do like the idea that he was the salesman, the arms dealer. It's like, you know, hippopotamus is actually the most deadliest animal. Like, really? Oh, yeah. Check this. He's got a brochure, a pamphlet, all the whole deal. Yeah.
Check out how hungry they are. I have a box about that.
Yeah.
Now, I also, one of the things I love about this minute is that Kylo Ren gets his, like, Arthur clenched fist moment where he's like, he gets to become a meme, and it's really great. It makes me happy.
And they crank up the leather creaking sound on that glove.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know he's wearing a leather glove. There's to the point that the guy piloting the AT-AT looks back and is like, was that a glove? Like, he was clenching so hard that I heard the glove even through this weird helmet that I'm wearing.
Did somebody put on an ASMR tape?
Yeah, plus, he's in it. It must be like it being like a tank. There must be like electric grindy sounds all over the place in that thing. Mm-hmm. But he's got.
Well, unless it's isolated, force powers. It's lots of soundproofing, and it's just you can't hear. You don't want to hear the kind of the outside what's going on.
Yeah,
as much. You just want to rely on your sensors and stuff like that. So I'm sure it's totally soundproofed, and you can't hear anything going on outside except for just that really soft, quiet sound of leather stretching.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys ever bought leather gloves and hoped that it would give you that same leather stretching sound effect, and you're always disappointed? Like every time I pick up a sword, I think it's going to make that cool like whetstone sound.
I feel like any leather glove that would give you that sound is thicker than my personal needs would require.
and too tight. The thing is with consumer leather gloves, they're thin and a little big enough that like you can comfortably move your fingers around. But with this, no, it's not about comfort. It's about look and sound. Because that's you got to hand it to evil people in both movies and real life. They get that it's about uniforms that aren't necessarily comfortable, but look super cool and make cool sounds. Like that's the thing evil has fully figured out, that uniforms, even if they're uncomfortable, look cool and make cool sounds.
There's something cool about being slightly constricted.
Yeah, I mean,
Learning something about you, I think.
Well, because you look at like what the rebels are wearing in this scene, because the rebels are they're watching as Luke Skywalker's just being super blasted from all these AT-ATs. I know he's not going to be okay at the end because they hit him with so many lasers. I haven't watched the next minute yet.
You can't hit Perry enough times.
But you look at what the rebels are wearing, and it's like a lot of like loose tunics, open necks, a lot of like kind of earth.
They're space hippies.
Thrift store sweaters that just have like a little rebellion symbol screen printed on them. They're totally
the bright orange flight suit with the gray like glowy vest. Where you're like, orange? Are you a crash test dummy? Like, are you working for the city? Like picking up the garbage? Why'd you go with orange? What's the deal? Mm-hmm.
All the rebel pilots are actually, they've all been sentenced to community service, and this is what they have to do as part of their thing.
When they were going down the Death Star trench in A New Hope, they had these sharp prongs attached to the X-wing so they could just skewer garbage along the trench and pull it in. Just to pick up the letter.
You know, I realize I shouldn't have been surprised by Stuart's love of constrictive clothes, considering that I tweeted out a photo last night because we were recording our own podcast at the same place for the first time, and he was wearing these jorts, and the level of excitement about these thigh-hugging jorts online was high.
Wait, a level of excitement for me?
No, I mean, like,
spectators.
Yeah, spectators.
Probably both.
Yeah.
Now there's a lot of emotion. Not to get away from Stuart's particular need to feel things close to him. It's a sensory thing. We can all respect that. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
This is a big emotional scene because who among us has not wanted to unleash an armada battery of laser cannons on a father figure that has we feel failed us at some point in our life? And so Kylo Ren is just kind of living the dream here.
Failed us in such a way that we killed our actual father earlier.
Well, I remember.
This guy really hates fathers.
Yeah. When I went to summer camp, and we went on our camp out, and I woke up to find that my counselor was in my tent about to kill me because he thought I would become Darth Vader, that I was like, you know what? Eventually, I'm going to have to get revenge on this guy. And it hasn't happened yet because I don't yet have a gorilla tank that shoots lasers. But
there was that Yelp review you left that was pretty scathing.
I just said,
do not send your kids here.
Don't send your kid to this camp because the counselor, although great most of the time, thinks you're going to become Darth Vader, which is...
So wait, they Yelp existed when you went to camp?
No, this was last year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was a grown-up Star Wars camp.
You pretended like you were a kid. You put on a beanie with a propeller.
Right.
Yeah,
popular Star Wars costume.
Yeah,
it is a little bit like... like getting revenge on essentially, like, when is the last time they saw each other in person? It's got to be 10 years or so, right?
They haven't seen each other since the fight.
I don't think they've seen each other since the
at that Jedi retreat.
So it literally is. Yeah, it's like summer camp counselor, like your like middle school teacher. It's like, oh, I hated that guy, and I'm like, I'm gonna blow him up. And it's,
I mean,
you know,
wouldn't the sharpest revenge though been if like Kylo Ren pretended he didn't recognize him? I don't know that.
Oh, yeah. Big timed him.
This was the sharpest revenge is living well, which Kylo Ren is kind of doing. I mean, he's the head of this, you know, this evil space army. You know, he's made it, but
he's got imposter syndrome.
Yeah. Right. At this point, he's also like given up his new like mask like style choice. Like he no longer's into masks. He's into showing off that punim.
Stuart, longtime Flophouse listeners will know that Stuart, though not Jewish, loves the word punim and tries to use it as much as possible.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Here's the thing about I'm disappointed. This is I'm glad you guys called us in because I wanted to be part of Last Jedi at some point. This might have couldn't have been earlier because I honestly love this movie. I know a lot of Star Wars fans don't for various reasons. I won't judge their motives. Many of them bad, but I love this movie. But I have to admit, by the time we get to this scene, I'm like, shouldn't this movie be over now? And it makes me realize as much as I love Star Wars movies. Except for maybe Empire Strikes Back, it's hard for me to think of a Star Wars movie that has a satisfying ending where I don't think it's like a little too long, you know, where it's just like not a little like going on. Even the original one, that Death Star trench run, the first time I showed it to my son, I was like, I forgot this goes on for a long time. They're making a lot of passes at that Death Star, and it's
long time.
It goes on for a long time. And there's just do you guys ever feel that way, or am I alone in this? That Star Wars movies always they're like a little too stuffed for me, a little too long.
I disagree on the first one.
Yeah, I'm talking to the wrong people. Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
because the trench run is my favorite part of pretty much anything. So I'm biased that way.
Yeah,
but yeah.
I mean, this does feel like maybe a second climax after like the almost. You know, running into the big
the casino
gun
planet
thing. Yeah, the casino planet.
It feels like the casino planet. Well, you have like the big sacrifice and that huge white soundless space explosion. And after that, it's like, we rented the hall a little bit longer. I guess we can have another dance.
Yeah, like, I mean, I love this stuff with astral projecting Luke. I find
spoiler.
the stuff about, like, where they're, like, stuck in the cave. For, I mean, like, it's not that much, but, like, stuff stuck in the cave with, like, the crystal wolves or whatever. Like, I'm like, I don't care. Like, but I know that's a small thing.
These fantastic creatures bore me.
Well,
I know where to find them.
Look, yeah. If I'm going to argue with silly creatures in Star Wars, like, number one, we'll be here a long time. Number two, what kind of, like, I'm a no fun person. But, the like, as much as I love this movie, it's I think, my third favorite. I am like, what are those crystal animals? Like, what's their deal? Like, how do they live?
Well, there's a certain. I mean, clearly they eat the salt on the ground, but there is a certain thing, yeah, where
who does
certain. Yeah,
check
certain
Wikipedia.
Point, I mean, elephants do it. They just walk into caves and lick salt. You know, that's what they do. But there's a certain point in the newer Star Wars movies where it feels like, no matter how original they are, and this movie has so many original ideas in it, but that scene I wish I could have done with you guys where Luke is milking that Dr. Seuss creature on the on the cliff, mm-hmm, where I saw it and I was like, I didn't know how badly I needed this moment in my life, and I'm so glad that I have it now. Like, that it feels like it always doubles back to, like, something that we've kind of seen in these movies before, and the fact that they go to a planet that looks kind of like Hoth, but it's salt instead of snow, and there's AT-ATs, but they look like gorillas instead of camels, uh-huh, and there's always a scene at the end, like, someone's in the, as we'll see in a later minute, someone's in the Millennium Falcon looking for the characters, like, kind of at the end of Empire Strikes Back when they're, you know, they're swooping back to get Luke. And it's like, I don't know, what do you think it is about Star Wars that it feels like by the end that we kind of are doubling back onto? Is that a deliberate, like, we're playing off the same themes thing, like the people who try to convince me to love the prequels will tell me? Or is it that at a certain point they run out of gas? What do you guys think? I open up to discussion. I'm okay with being proven wrong. I don't know how I feel about it.
Well, some of it in this one, I think, let me pick it apart in two pieces. One, people have complained at us for bringing this up because the behind-the-scenes timeline is cloudy, and I'm not sure who was doing what when it came to the production of these movies.
It was so long ago, nobody can remember.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. It's impossible to know. The fog of war and all that.
I think there's some handwritten notes at some point. But it seems like originally they had talked to Rian Johnson about doing this movie entirely himself and then providing at least an outline or a first draft for the finale for episode 9. Like, he was going to be more involved in that when it was Colin Trevorrow who was going to be handling that.
Right. I completely forgot that Colin Trevorrow was supposed to do number
Book
9.
Of Henry.
Yeah, Book of Henry superstar. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's possible that he had a lot of kind of full arc ideas that he tried to squeeze into one movie once he was kind of realizing that wasn't going to work out that way. So it's like so many, you know, he found so many things, he found so much information, he put it all in, overkill.
So this is kind of like the Hunger Dogs, Jack Kirby's Hunger Dogs of Star Wars, where it's like you have this long saga you've been planning, the Fourth World saga. Look, turns out you're going to finish it in a 48-page, perfect bound prestige format thing. Just try to squeeze it all in there. And he's like, okay, I had 10 years worth of stories. you got to do it in 48 pages. Okay, I'll do my best. You know, and this is going to be a 3-cigarer. And he just shoved those cigars in his mouth and smoked them down as he drew other
dogs. All three at once?
Yeah, because that's how he gets his power. He's like Popeye, but with cigars.
I like it's like a assembly line. They move across his mouth. Like, he takes one out, puts it in, then the other two move across, and he takes it out, puts it in the other side.
Yeah, and Powerhouse plays.
But as to the themes, the recurring themes, I think that was partially, you know, it's they want to, you know, it's funny because, like, you know, some people will say that that's, you know, this strays too far from some of the Star Wars familiarity, some of the Star Wars themes. And it does in some of the details, but, like, you do still have a lot of those same kind of thematic beats. And so it's an interesting to see where they stuck with it and where they kind of branched off from it. And so I don't have a strong opinion either way. I'm just saying it's interesting.
It is interesting, yes.
Yeah, I mean, to me, this is it's a little strange. I mean, I know that this is the one that they asked us to be on to talk about the minute, Elliot. So I'm not taking you down for bringing it up on Last Jedi. I understand that we have to talk about Last Jedi because we're here for Last Jedi. But to me, this is the weird movie to, like, talk about, you know, returning to the well. Because, like, there is stuff like, yes, this is, like, evocative of Hoth, although I think that, like, in a
it's
unique...
It's evocative.
in a unique and beautiful way. But it is also like the one of the new movies that I think most brings new stuff to the series, like new ideas, which is why, of course, the people maybe who you were talking about before who have bad reasons for liking it don't don't like it because they're like, oh, it's not my Star Wars. And like, Audrey had never seen Star Wars. She saw it all of it last year for the first time. And she liked the first two, like, and she liked Jedi okay. But like, this is the one that she like sort of actually stood up and like paid attention to. And I feel like,
I thought you were going to say applauded.
I think that for
more sense than standing up to watch a whole movie.
Someone who didn't grow up with it and have that like part of it, it was more interesting to her that this movie muddies the waters a little. Like, it's like, okay, Star Wars, as much as I love it, is, and like some of it's about redemption. Like, there's a gray area there about like, is the bad guy bad? Is the good guy? But like, for the most part, it's a pretty simple, like, good and bad story in a pretty naive way, especially when you're talking about Star Wars, whereas this one is like,
I mean, the bad guy literally wears black and the good guy wears
exactly
black. Like, that's right. Yeah,
but here it's like, you know, this there are a lot of people caught up in this, and they all, like, a lot of people are just turning their heads, change, like looking away, like you know, this is one that sort of went off in its own direction, and then everyone got mad, and they're like, "Oh, bring back J.J. Abrams!" And J.J. Abrams made, in my opinion, a terrible movie. But
I don't think, Dan, I don't think you're fully understanding what I'm saying, which is that it's because this movie has so much new to bring to Star Wars,
yeah,
that it really throws into sharp relief at the end how much it feels like we're being shunted. Shunted back to this
right,
kind of old fashioned idea of Star Wars that, like, I've seen so much at this point in The Last Jedi where I'm like, oh, I love, and the fact that this movie ends on a note, you know, we're not going to do that minute, but it ends on a note of like, I'm going to hint at a much more expanded universe and,
yeah,
expanded possibilities for this series. And then, of course, the last movie, as if it chops off that arm and just tightens the tourniquet around it so it can never grow back again. Like, so it's just like, it just makes me wonder why at the end it kind of circles back, when you'd think that a movie like this should start with a scene like this that's very reminiscent of the old movies and then continue to move forward in a new direction. But like you guys are saying, this is not, it's not like Rian Johnson sat down and they said, you have carte blanche, make your vision. Like, he's working for a big corporation that has a brand that it's upholding. So who knows what kinds of conversations went on behind the scenes about what was going to happen in this movie.
Yeah.
I think, I think Force Awakens, like, we can all understand why they kind of leaned very hard on the nostalgia thing, because after the prequels, people were like, Star Wars, can it be good again? Mm-hmm. So by leaning so heavily on the nostalgia and, like, you know, so much, you know, things that look like it's like a remix of Star Wars, Force Awakens, you know, you just kind of shuffle everybody around and the roles are slightly different. And, but I think that's, and I feel like Rian Johnson was, like you said, might have been reacting against that to try to, like, say, forget all that stuff. Moving forward, it's going to be different stuff. But obviously, like you said, J.J. Abrams, not quite, and I guess maybe based on that controversial reaction, they said, okay, well, you know, let's go back to the nostalgia. I think the Star Wars is such a weird thing because, like, a certain generation, it was around when we were kids. And then there was that long lapse, and I think that's kind of what resulted in this ultimately, like, toxic nostalgia. It's like, they've been making Star Wars things all along and rebooting them just like every other franchise. It wouldn't be the same. It would be very different. It wouldn't be like, I mean, although, think about it, like Batman movies. Oh, they really keep going back to that whole parents were murdered on the you know, like, every time they do Batman, we see his origin again and again.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
So it's
It's a little bit like comparing it to superhero comics is a good way to think about it, I guess, where it's like every now and then they're like, guess what? Ray Palmer's not there anymore. There's a new Adam. We've got a new Adam, and he's a new guy. And people are like, that's not the Adam who was there when I was a kid. Yeah. Kill this new one and bring back the old one. That's not the Flash I grew up with. You know, like, that's not – and the – I guess in Marvel Comics, they've been able to deal with that by just having 10 different Spider-Men, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, instead of having one replace the old ones, just we got a whole bunch of new ones. But people do – you have this cycle, I guess, of, like, people growing up with a thing as a fan – it changing or not being there. Then they're old enough that now they can control their dollars because they're a grown-up and demanding the thing that they wanted as a kid. And then if it changes a little bit, they're like, that's not what – the same way that – and I don't know if it's our generation is the first one that is unable to let go of that stuff where I have a kid I grew up with. We were high school friends, and we don't talk that much anymore. But he'll still send me the trailers for like – Transformers or stuff like that when they're released. Or like if an article is like Thundercats movie coming out, he'll send me that link. And I'm like, I don't need a Thundercats movie. Like I have no reason in my life to want to go back to the Thundercats. Like, all right, okay. Like even the Ninja Turtles, which I genuinely loved as a child. Like I don't need new Ninja Turtles material, but maybe it's our generation's the first one where it's like we can't let go of childish things, you know?
What? I couldn't figure out if that was me or if that was society. I was in, you know.
You are society.
It's a combo player.
I was in the theater, I think, to see one of the Batman movies, and there were trailers for a new G.I. Joe movie, a new Transformers movie, and something else that
Pound Puppies?
And Pound Puppies, exactly. And I was like, oh... Or maybe a Star Trek. I don't remember. But basically, I was sitting there and I was like, well, like, these are all things that I would have flipped for when I was like 12. And I'm not excited about any of them, including the one that I'm here to see. Like, what happened? Is it me? Am I old and cranky? Or was it like, is it?
I just can't believe that Pound Puppies, like, gritty exploitation in jail movie just didn't fly.
It was the prequel of how they got to the pound and what life was like at the pound before they were rescued. And it was a little rough for people, this gritty reimagining of the Pound Puppies. Yeah.
I don't like that the pound was all political now. Like, the original one, the pound was just like a thing, and now it's all like, oh, that's symbolic of Antifa.
It's, you know, black and white. You had good dogs and you had bad dogs.
Yeah, exactly.
It does feel like
all dogs go to heaven. That's important.
Except even in that movie, some of the dogs go to hell. That movie lies to you right in the title.
Well, yeah. I guess I got to stop killing dogs.
Stuart.
It's too horrible. Stuart put his hand over his mouth because he loves animals so much. Like, he can't even believe that he made that joke.
I know.
He's so mad at himself.
I feel like the people who now are allowed to make movies, like, are in the position to make the decisions, are like kids who grew up and like when they're kids, are like, ooh, when I'm in charge, I'm gonna do whatever I want. And then like it actually happened, and in the meantime they didn't learn like, no, we shouldn't eat candy for dinner, like just candy. And they're like, but they're like, all the movies, candy, just all the candy I wanted as a kid, we're having it.
Yeah, and I can do it. When you're a kid, you're like, I'm gonna eat cereal for breakfast and play video games as my job. And your parents are like, okay. And now as adults, we're like, we're doing it.
Why do I feel so gross?
And not to bring comics into it again, but like in the 60s, you had like Roy Thomas started writing the Marvel comics, and he grew up with the comics when he was younger. So that's what he's like. Time for the all-winners squad to come back. Like, time for the Golden Age Human Torch to show up. Because these are all the characters I loved as a kid, and we're all Roy Thomas now, I guess is what I'm saying. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
What I think is interesting is, like, with the more modern franchises, you don't see the same level of toxic fandom, I guess. Like, look at, like, the Fast and Furious franchise. Like, the fans are like, can't wait to see it. And then if it's not as good, they're like, wasn't as good as the others, but that's cool, whatever. You went to space. Yeah.
But wait till 20 years from now when they're doing the Fast and Furious reboot. And after they're there's a lull.
Fast and Furious novelizations and expanded universe materials, the comics to read for like 10 years.
Oh, and they've got to decide what's canon, what's not. And they're like, this is supposed to be about family. If it's not about family, it's not real FF stuff, you know.
When Dom was drinking a Corona Light, I feel like that was an attempt to change my childhood.
So one last question about this minute. Hux stops them from firing. He's like, that's enough.
Right.
And is it because he's like embarrassed for Kylo Ren that he's kind of like, oh my dude, this is not a cool look. Like, everyone is cringing at you right now.
Oh my dude.
I think so. I think in that moment he is, and this is easily my
favorite character of these movies, except for Babu Frick and the chimp who rebuilds his helmet.
Yeah,
Sith chimp.
I love Hux because he's such like a scummy little jerk. But like, there's something like, I don't know, like we're all Hucks a little bit.
Well, Hucks at that moment is Mick Mulvaney, where he's like, I'm working for a crazy person. I've got to try to rein him in so people don't realize how crazy he is, because this is my ticket to power, and I have lashed myself to an insane man. And so now he's like, enough, enough. But also because they're probably going to run out of lasers at a certain point. He's like, we're here to stop the rebels.
What?
We can't waste all our lasers on this one dude.
What? Like, do they... is there confirmation? Do they have like little shells of laser?
Well, or it's energy, finite. Right? Like you don't have nonstop energy on one of these things. You got to run out of laser blasts.
Maybe they're solar powered.
Okay, maybe the evil the evil First Order is way ahead of everyone else in terms of green fueled military hardware. Sure.
Well, in the last movie, they totally drained all the energy from a sun, so they're clearly very good at that.
It's like hyper solar power.
Actually, yeah. I mean, and that's what they've been warning us about. Solar power, destroy our sun. I don't think so. Yeah. Anyway,
like those windmills.
Yeah. But I think he is trying to. He realizes that Kylo Ren looks like a madman here, and he's trying to limit the damage that all the First Order people watching this live streamed are not like, he's really shooting that one guy with a lot of lasers.
I mean, also, this is his
job. If we do that for every guy,
this is for free, you know.
I mean, luckily, there's like 10 rebels inside. I don't know that they know that, but, right. You know.
I feel like, too, like, if I was at work and my boss was like shooting someone for that long, just like, God, come on, like, can we wrap this up? Like, we got other, let's just... kill the other rebels, get back to our family. Like, we're going to sit here and blast this guy for another half an hour.
Well, he can see that Kylo Ren is also in a state of he's having like a some kind of rage paralysis that's affecting him. Yeah.
That'll come up later in the week too, where there's a kind of a moment where I was like, "Oh wow, that they really did they really should have just stopped shooting Luke Skywalker before." I think that's later this week, but it is also, you're right. Hux needs to make a show of it essentially to be like, "Come on, look at this guy. Isn't this guy crazy? Like he's nowhere near as good of a leader as I am, right?" Like politicking amongst
Hux.
The First Order.
Come on, pick up some Hux bucks. Come on, Hux everybody.
He's giving out little, it's like, I'm sorry that happened. Here, if you ever need anything, just let me know.
Well, I guess that'll, unless anyone else has anything else for minute 131, we can wrap this one up. We got more Luke versus the First Order the rest of the week. So, can you guys possibly return tomorrow? I know it was like a 1 in a million shot getting all three of you in one episode. You think it'll happen again?
I think there's a strong chance.
I'll run.
Unlikely, but that's
okay. I'll see what I can do.
While they are doing that, I want you, dear listeners, to go to StarWarsMinute.com/Patreon. Become a supporter of the show. You can get bonus episodes on Saturday and Sunday. You can get art prints by me. You can get you can take advantage of our sports packages. Now that sports are opening up again, go see a game with Pete the Retailer.
It's one of the
rewards. Take advantage of it.
Do it.
And then when you're done doing that, you can join us tomorrow for another Star Wars Minute.
Star Wars Minute.